From our radio to our audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Here at Trinity United Methodist, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us every Sunday morning for worship at 10 a.m. We invite you to watch and subscribe to the worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy the radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Now we'll have our scripture, and if you do want to follow in the Pew Bible, it's 1156. Sorry. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be the praise of His glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in order that you may know this hope in which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for all who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. And now we'll hear our sermon, Enlightened Eyes, from Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Life is all a matter of perspective. It is how we choose to look at things. Two men looked out prison bars, and one looking down only saw mud everywhere he looked. The other saw a rich and glorious sky full of stars. You know, you've heard the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Personally, I'm just glad I have a glass with something in it. It is how we choose to look at things. It is the perspective that we take on. My best friend has drilled that through my head finally. Anytime I'd get any negative, she would remind me of Philippians 4:8 and focus on all of the good and the positive things. No matter what is going on in life, keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Think about what is to come. All the glory that will come in heaven. All of the good that is in the world. And if our perspective, our chosen way of looking at things is positive, it increases our mental health, our emotional health, and our physical health. And the people around us can sense a difference in us. Now, there's nothing wrong with lamenting. There's nothing wrong with being tired or discouraged or depressed. But when we focus, when we get tunnel vision on the things that drag us down, I don't know about you all, but I can get fixated on the negative, and that's all that runs through my head. Just recently, I'm sending little memes to my best friend. She's saying, don't focus on the negative. Choose what you're going to focus on. I'm not saying there's not anything wrong, but I'm saying you have choice. And we do. We have a choice to be a victor or a victim. Now, life deals us whatever hand life deals us. And sometimes it's not so great. But we have opportunity to change our outcome by the things that we choose to focus on. We choose to focus upon the Father. We choose to focus upon Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look to all of the heavenly ways. When we do that, we find we are not nearly so angry, so frustrated, so depressed, or so downcast. It does lift us up. Many years ago, there was an old farmer who lived right by the town gate. So he was the unofficial greeter for everybody who came into town. He sat outside on his porch and he whittled on his little stick. And he looked up occasionally to see if there was anybody coming on the horizon. And one day, a wagon stopped and looked at him and said, I beg your pardon, sir. Can you tell me what kind of people live here in this town? He did a couple more licks on his whittling stick. And he looked up at them and he said, well, what kind of people lived from whence you've came? And they said, oh, they were wonderful people, so easy to get along with, so helpful. We hated to leave. And he smiled and he said, I do believe that's the type of people you're going to find here. A couple hours later, another wagon load of people came. And they said, I beg your pardon, sir. What kind of people live here? He kept whittling on his stick for a minute and he said, well, what kind of people lived from whence you came? He said, oh, they weren't angry a lot. They disagreed with one another. They was constant fighting, constant strife. We are so glad to get away from there. Whittled on his stick for a few minutes. He said, well, sir, hate to tell you, but I'm guessing that's the kind of people you're going to find here. It's all about perspective. And if our perspective is negative, that's what will manifest. That is what we will see. That's just the way that life is. Paul's prayer is that we look through the eyes of the heart. In our text today, Paul challenges the Ephesians to what they will choose to see, what their perspective will be. In his prayer for the church, he petitions that they might have eyes of their heart enlightened to see the good that is around them. He prays that they might see things from the perspective of the heart, that they might have a new vision and an outlook and would see beyond their outward circumstances, beyond their struggles, beyond their trials, and that their hearts would be good and pure and true. And from that would be born a vision of how they chose to look at the world. Some pretty good advice there. 17th century mathematician Blaise Pascal said, "The heart has reasons that the mind know not of." Through the eyes of the heart, Paul desires that the recipients of the letter to the Ephesians would open them up beyond their normal reality to see God, to see God at work in everything going on around them. I don't know about you, but when your life seems to be one struggle after another and you're trudging up the hill, when you can see God at work in someone else's life, when you can see God at work in your life, it gives me hope. It gives me courage. It gives me strength to keep on going. When somebody reminds me, stop. Stop. Do not focus on the negative. Stop and focus on what is noble, what is good, what is true, what is pure, what is praiseworthy. And you know, I got mad at her when she did that. She knew. Fortunately, we were on text. But she knew. Next morning, I get a text. "You all right? How you doing today? Are you feeling better?" "Eh," was all I answered back. She just kept praying and reaching out a little bit. Sure enough, my heart started changing, and I started looking towards the positive and towards the good. The Ephesians is a circular letter. It is one of the few epistles that wasn't exactly written for a particular people in a particular time. All of it applies as much to us as it did to the people then. The book of Ephesians is filled with positive outlook. It is filled with good and true advice. It is filled with strategies for prayer. It has some of the Apostle Paul's best prayers in chapter 1, in chapter 3, and in chapter 6. It tells us how to deal with the worst that evil can throw at us. Paul's prayer is that through the eyes of the heart, we would know the hope that is to come in Christ Jesus. When we're struggling, it is hard to make it through day after day. And yes, we lament. Yes, we become discouraged. But if we can stop and praise and worship, not only does that break through a wall of adversity, it changes our outlook. It changes our heart rate. It changes how we breathe. It changes our mindset. Scientifically, they have proven that when we praise God, when we choose to look towards the future, no matter what is going on, it has tremendous benefit upon our mental, emotional, and physical health. So now, you have a good reason for looking towards the good. Ephesians is written to those who despair over the unfortunate. Those who never had a chance in life. The child born into disease, neglect, poverty, and war. It is written to comfort and console those who cry out, "There must be more." Have you ever asked, why me? Why me? Why is all this happening to me? I have great empathy for people who cry out and say, why me? So I don't answer them the way I've been answered. But boy, the way I've been answered has smacked me across the face and made me think, why not you? What makes you think you are so special? What makes you think you shouldn't have to deal with these trials in life? My grace is sufficient. And it truly, truly is. I remember my papa restored a 1956 Bel Air Chevy. It was gorgeous, had the wings on the back. It was a sky blue and a creamy white. And he was going to take my nonna to see the Golden Gate, to see San Francisco. She had two daughters living there. She had never been along the coast. And he was taking her to see it. And I got to ride. It was one of the few times that I lived with them. So I got to ride along. And Nana sat in the back seat with me. We played games. We played little clapping games. Peas, porridge, hot, all this different stuff. Well, every single time we drive by a cemetery, she'd say, I'm glad I don't live there. I eventually started picking up on my cue and saying, well, why not, Nana? And she said, people die there. I said, well, people die in Tacoma, Washington, too. She just meant that it was a desolate place. Paul is interested in us seeing things through enlightened eyes so that we see God's hope, so that we see what's really important. This life is short. After but a few trials, we will go on to glory. We will live eternity in heaven. Have you ever stood and pictured heaven? I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's not streets of milk and honey. But I'm not real sure what it does look like. What I do know is that there will be choirs of angels singing praise, because the word tells us that. I will see the people that I know and love. We won't have the same relationships, but we will recognize one another. And we will be filled with peace. I know a pastor who took his little daughter, she was about 3-4 years old, to see Snow White. The entire theater is filled with toddlers and their parents all watching the animation of Snow White, gloriously exclaiming at it, it is magical, it is wonderful. And all of a sudden, the place became still and quiet. The evil witch had come out, and children began to be frightened. A few of them started crying in the theater. And then this pastor's daughter got up. She sat on top of her seat. She said, wait, my mama's read me this story a whole bunch of times. It's going to be okay in the end. You don't have to be scared of the evil, wicked queen. It's going to be okay in the end. I absolutely love Jelly Roll's song. It's not okay. I'm not okay. But I will be. My favorite line out of it is he says, and one day will come a holy water tide, and all the pain will be washed away. It might not be okay right now, but in the larger scheme of things, in the greater perspective, it will be okay when we get to heaven, when we reach eternity. Through the enlightened eyes of hope, we are alive to see beyond external circumstances and to discern that our God is indeed in control. Romans 8:28 is my life verse. We can handle about anything if we fully believe that no matter what we are going through, God is in control and God will take what is happening and use it for our good and for His glory. Might not be okay right this minute, but it eventually will be okay. The essence and evidence of this hope is in the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints. What is an inheritance? Is it something that you earn? Is it a free gift? A beautiful gift? Does it have to be money or land? No. It might be things that have been passed down to you. My Nana, gruff as she could be sometimes, she pulled me aside one time and she told me, life's not fair, Angie. You're going to have to look after your mother. Make sure she doesn't burn down the house. Take care of your sister and your brother. Life's not fair, but that's the way it is, and it's going to be okay in the end. And she told me about heaven. I was too young to really understand it. She gave me an inheritance of a different perspective. She gave me an inheritance of integrity and truth-telling. And she built the foundations of my faith. All of us can remember someone who has shaped us, who has shaped our faith, who has given us an inheritance of faith and truth and belief. Now I think of Mother Teresa and her 600 homes run by the Sisters of Charity. She took in so many people who had nowhere else to go and literally changed their lives. Then she spent the end of her life going through the streets of Calcutta and India and picking up the dying and giving them a place of comfort and rest and peace and prayer and reassurance as they died. What an inheritance. We have everyday saints in our life, and in just a minute I'm going to give you opportunity to speak forth the names of saints who have shaped your life. Think of what they passed on to you. I'm not talking about cars. I'm not talking about land. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about how did they change you? How did they shape your perspective in life? How did they help with your faith formation? If you would, please stand and name someone in your life, a saint who has changed your life. I will definitely name my Nana and even my son Raymond, because he brought me to Christ. Are there others? Yes.